Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Today, my guest is Patricia Viscount, a seasoned brand voice strategist, conversion copywriter, and former Canadian Army officer who spent 3 decades helping others clarify their message and connect with the right people. She's on a mission to help service-based professionals sound more like themselves and less like robots, because the real competitive advantage in today's business world is authenticity. And I was thinking about this when I wrote that word down, and I thought that's a little bit been overused recently, in all fairness. So we can explore that and exactly what you mean by that, because I think I know what it means. And so I apologize for being a bit robot-like for saying that, if that's a thing. So welcome to the show, Patricia, and we'll dig into that pretty quickly.
Thank you very much. I'm excited about being here and, yes, talking about brand voice and authenticity.
All right. That's excellent. So I want to just start by saying that I realized when I was reading that you've had a pretty unique path, being an Army officer to going to be now from Army officer to brand voice expert. What about that journey shaped how you think about communication today? Because I think you were in communications in the Army, correct?
Yes, yeah. That is correct. Yes. Yeah.
And did we say the Canadian Army? Yes, we did.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually really quite interesting because how it shaped me is herding all the cats.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things to think about, a lot of people to consider. When you're in the Army, you have leadership, you have senior leaders, senior officers, and then you have the troops on the ground. And so you need to think about each of those different levels and how you can help them communicate more effectively, because obviously a lot of times senior leaders, whether it's in corporate world or in the military, have a certain way of looking at things, and they have a certain way of expressing themselves, and it may or may not translate to the troops on the ground, the people that are at their desks or on site. I was in oil and gas, the energy sector, for a long time, and we would be in headquarters, and then we would be trying to talk to people that are in trucks or, you know, that are on site. And so how do we make sure that what the leaders want to say really is translated and is meaningful to people that might not necessarily have that bigger view or that have the strategic outlook or whatever? They just want to know what's in it for me, and of how course. Do you talk to me that is meaningful to me?
Well, that's actually exactly the same as in a business, right? And it's funny because 2 things come to mind. One, I was talking today in a sort of a mastermind I go to every week. We were talking about salespeople and sale, and how today there's a lot of stress around always with sales about filling your quota and not so much caring about what the customer actually needs. So you're just trying to make the sale.
Right.
Okay. And then the other thing that came to mind was a gentleman that I interviewed, actually his episode, I think, went live a few weeks ago, Carl Walsh. And Carl talks about the oval table and about bringing everyone to the table so that they can communicate within their organization, whether you're the loading dock manager or you're the VP of marketing. And so that's exactly what you're talking about, so that everyone's clear, that everyone has a seat at the table in his instance. And in your case, it's about resonating what you need to say with the people in the different positions, which I love.
Exactly.
And that's great. Yeah,
exactly. And that's coming from the Army and going to corporate.
Yeah.
It's very similar, where you are taking complex jargon and acronyms and all of the things and really translating it down each level to make sure that everybody understands the goals, whether it's business goals or, mission goals, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's been very, very interesting, and I've had a wonderful career so far.
Well, do you work mostly with corporations? You don't anymore, right?
I don't.
No,
No,
you
I
work with
right
small
now
business
I
owners, entrepreneurs.
yes. Yeah, coaches and consultants mainly. So coaches, and when I say consultants, they're wealth managers, they're accountants, they're interior designers, that kind of thing. So a lot of small solopreneurs and small businesses. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Well, you say that sounding like yourself is a business advantage. Why do so many people lose their voice when they sit down to write?
I think a lot of it has to do with, you were talking earlier that you were a school teacher. So I think that we were graded on the grammar and, following the rules and that kind of thing. So a lot of people, when you meet them in person, they're engaging and they're gregarious and but then as soon as they sit down in front of their computer screen, they feel that they need to be that grade, they may meet the grade for the teacher. So a lot of people really make their content and their messaging way more complicated than they need to, or a lot more formal than they need
Yeah,
to
more
attract
stilted,
their
I was
ideal
going to
client.
say. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so I'm going to jump right in because I want to talk about AI for a moment. And it's like not the elephant in the room anymore. I think it's part of the conversation very much so now. So,
100%.
I use it and I love it. And I think that it can do different things for different people. For me, it helps me formulate ideas if I'm stuck, because I'm not a great writer. Like, I don't sit down and it flows from me. I have to really think about it. I also am hard on myself, so there's two sides to that story. But what do you notice? What are you noticing in how people are writing, and where does that human voice get lost or get found, let's say?
That's a very good question. I think that because I also use AI and I use it in a lot of different ways. And when we say AI, for me as a copywriter, it's not just ChatGPT or Perplexity or Copilot, or it's also some of the tools that I use to look at different voice types, or it's Grammarly to make sure that my grammar and my sentence structure and staying away from passive versus active voice. And it's Hemingway to make sure that I am writing consistently in, if I start out with grade 11 content, that I'm sticking with grade 11 content, or the overuse of adverbs, that kind of thing. So there's a bunch of different
Or
ways to use.
delving into
Yes,
it.
exactly. So there's so many different ways of using AI, and I think it's all about it being a tool.
Yeah, I agree.
So
Totally agree.
yeah. So if the worst thing that people can do, in my humble opinion, is cut and paste. They put in a prompt, no matter how good the prompt is, and they just say, that's good enough. And then they bring, because AI, certainly ChatGPT, has specific words that they use over and over again. When I first started using it a couple of years ago, it was seamless. Everything was seamless. And now everything is magnetic. And so when you see these words in the writing, you can tell often that it is AI generated. And then a lot of people, clients, prospects, they make mental note of that, and they don't. And I'm not sure whether people judge you harshly. I mean, because I'm a copywriter, I judge.
That's fair.
I think that's a trick of the trade, or an unfortunate consequence of the trade, is because I work with words every day. So I think that the cut and paste, takes the human out of it. where you can put the human back into it is really making the prompt, talking about your voice and your personality. You know, I want it to be, these are some of the words I use. This is, I use grade 7 language, or I avoid these words, you know, that kind of thing. So you can put the human back into the tool, and then you look at what it comes up with, and then you say, you know, would I say that? But
Correct.
and is this, does it reflect my values? Does it reflect my core brand words? So that's how I think about it from the human perspective.
No, that's great. I think that it's been my experience recently. I'm starting to see where, with the training that I do, with the LinkedIn training that I do, I'm starting to integrate AI. In particular, for me, I have to be fair, it's ChatGPT, because that's, I'm trying to focus on one so I know how it works, you know, because I can't handle the technology of so many things. So I use that one. But I've noticed that when I'm talking to people, they say they use it, but they really don't know what they're doing, and they do it the hard way. And so when you're talking about, you know, the putting certain things into the prompts, well, if you customize a chat GPT and make a template for a certain thing, let's say a LinkedIn profile piece, or how you do your LinkedIn posts or whatever, then you can then build those conditions and those things into the template, so
That's
you don't
correct.
have to do it every single time.
Yes.
Right. And so that's what I'm starting to see is going to be something I love to, you know, I don't want to get too technical with it, but I do understand enough that I know more. I'm dangerous because I know more than, right?
Yes,
Other people.
exactly. Well, and if I may
Yes.
talk about or reference another of your episodes, and that
Oh,
was with Gunnar.
of course. Please do.
And so when he was talking about using AI, and you know, where we are today is so much better than we were 2 years ago, and it's nowhere near where we're going to be 2 years from now.
Correct.
So it's using the tool and learning enough about it, not being afraid to try it and test it. Because for me, everything is a test. I try it. That's one of my values. It's
Okay.
flexibility. And so
Yep.
it's for me, I want to try it and then see if it works, see how it works, and then learn how to fix it or change it or improve it. So.
Yeah, that's great. The other thing that I think, and that episode that you're referring to, I think was episode 328. It just came out last week with Gunnar Hood, and it is really interesting because he's way ahead of me when it comes to AI. But something that he was talking about, and actually that was in the conversation, or no, actually it was a short podcast episode I listened to this morning by one of the producers of my podcast, Amplify You. And he was taught, Troy was talking about SEO versus AEO, or I think the other term is GEO. So he referred, because he was talking about podcasting, he was saying that when we write, and in this case, it would have been show notes, or it would have been promos for your episodes. And anything that we do, we write for SEO, which search engine optimization. Well, that's changed now. Because if you notice, when we do a Google search, the first few answers that come up are AI generated answers. So we're trying to be the answer to those questions that people put in there. And AEO is answer engine optimization. So if I Google, you know, how do I write show notes for my podcast, it will search the AI tools
First.
right first. So we want to be part of the answer if that's what we teach, if that's what we do, right?
Yes.
So how is that affecting what you do? Are you thinking that way yet? Like about writing for AEO, for GEO, which I don't know what the G stands for. Do you?
Google?
No, it's not Google.
No.
I'll just ask chat just a second. Yeah, go ahead. Go
That's the
ahead.
brilliant part. But people can take that too far, right?
Sure,
Because
they can.
they
Yeah.
ask everything and then they take it at face value and they don't actually know whether that's true or not. So that's it's a slippery slope when we're asking chat to do everything. Because like we used to do Google. And actually, just a little tip there, if you put
Yeah.
in, how do I write show notes for my podcast, space minus AI, it will still give you the attributed articles and that kind of thing. So
Oh, yeah, that's a good point too.
you can do Google without AI, but you have to put minus AI so that
Oh, okay.
you get the factual stuff as opposed to AI's interpretation. I am, because it's hard not to
Yes.
write for the search for Chat GPT search, but it's a slow process, I think, because it is certainly something that I'm thinking about, but I'm not actively doing it right now.
Okay, that's fair. So it says here, ChatGPT said that GEO stands for Generalist AI Agent Operator.
Oh my goodness.
There
That's
are
even
AI
more
systems
complicated.
trained to handle a wide range of tasks across domains rather than being specialized for one. I don't know if that's what this one is, but there
I
you
don't
go.
know.
That's what it said. Okay, so we're not super well, was it the same when you think SEO? Were you more or were you more focused on
I'm
that?
more focused on
Okay.
SEO, but I totally see the train coming
Yes,
for
yes.
AEO.
Yeah.
So it is something that you either need to test, need to
Yeah.
start doing, or get out of the way, because more people are like you, like me, like my husband. He
He
Googles,
loves it.
he chats everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of it is amazing. He was having a Shopify issue a
Yes.
couple of weeks ago, and he just put it in chat, and chat could explain it to him the way Shopify couldn't. And he's been fighting this issue for months, and within a couple of minutes, chat gave him an answer that he could understand and he could implement to
Yeah,
fix this.
magic. I know. I've had an 8 month long going issue with Home Depot and customer service type issue.
Yeah.
And when I finally, I'm just going to cut to the chase where last week I was finally talking to, they've said that they will give me new whatever it is that I needed. And I had to sign this agreement. And I put the agreement into chat as well as talking to my lawyer friend. And I said, I have to have this conversation because with the representative, because I don't want to just sign it as is. I have some issues with it. And it gave me talking points and it gave me a paragraph that they thought I should add to the document, to the contract, which the girl at the other end, when I said it, she said, I love that. Send it to me. Yeah, we'll put that in. Save me, look, $500 lawyer bill. And it was, it was useful. It was
Isn't
like,
that
I
funny?
know. And same as your husband, I had some tech issue and I didn't know I was going to have to call someone and I asked ChatGPT and it answered my question for me
Yep.
and I could fix it. So I know
Yep.
it's amazing. Okay, we're sidetracking a little bit. I
Yes,
apologize.
but that's okay. But it still has to do with voice,
I
right?
know it
Because
totally
the,
does.
yeah.
Okay, so you've developed a unique way of using client interviews to write powerful copy. Your system, how does it work and why is it so effective?
So my system is basically about getting the voice of customer.
Right.
So
And I'm
if
just going
you,
to interject that
yeah.
it is on your website. You have it
Yes.
outlined nicely on your
Yes.
website if people want to see, what it is, but I do want you to share, some points about it here.
Perfect. Thank you. So obviously you start the conversation, you start the relationship, you have a discovery call, and one part of my research is speaking to my clients' clients, because
Okay.
I it gives me some really good voice of customer, we call it voice of customer, on why exactly your customers chose you. So when I'm talking to you and you say, and I ask you, why are your people calling you? Why are your clients choosing you? You can have a couple of different ideas, but you don't really know. You're just making that up. But when I actually speak to your clients, they give me really good, crunchy words that you can use on your website, in your emails.
Love it.
And often that is part of your voice, your brand voice, how you're showing up, the expressions and the words you use, and that's why they love you. So that kind of thing. So when I'm in my research phase, that is one of the non-negotiables in my copywriting process, is because voice of customer is so important.
Do they pick and choose for you who to call, or do you?
Yes. Yeah, they tend to give me 3 to 5 people, and then I organize the interviews. I interview the people. I create testimonials out of this as well. So it's also, you get really good content for for your messaging, but you also get the social proof or the testimonials, the reviews that show your prospects that yes, you have done this work, you've solved this problem for someone else, which is so important. And if I may just share a really quick story.
Please do.
So one of my very first clients was a restaurateur in Edmonton here in Alberta, Canada. And when I spoke to him, we were chatting about, his positioning and his messaging. And he said, well, we're at a high state, a premium steakhouse. People come to us for the steak. And I was perfect, excellent. Okay. So then, everything, all of his messaging, all of his website content talked about these high quality steaks. When I actually started speaking to his customers, they said, if we want high quality steak, we go somewhere else. It's the atmosphere, it's the environment, it's the fun. So he was completely talking to the wrong audience. He was positioning his company or his restaurant totally different. So, because when you think about high quality shishi steakhouses, you think button down, you think, $200 bottles of wine, you think certain
Never
things.
mind that, you think $200 steaks these days.
And so we changed his messaging to be more in line with the people that were going.
I love
So,
it.
and that is the power of talking to your clients or talking to your customers, because you really you get to understand why they love you and what makes you so special to them. And that's why it's such an important part of my process to get that kind of information, to put that out there.
Amazing. So true. Now, just as a sideline, do you still have Highs in Calgary?
Yes, we do.
Okay, because that's what I think of when I think of a steakhouse. I used to work for them when I was a kid. My mom and dad were good friends with High as the owner, the original owner of Highs.
It is, and it's delicious, but absolutely, it is. You're not walking out of
If I
that
go
kind of a
there ever
restaurant less
now,
than $600.
If I go there, I have a Caesar salad and a potato, a twice baked potato. I don't even care about the steak, you know? Oh, and garlic bread and cheese bread. Like it's that kind of a dinner. Anyway, but love it. Okay, so that was just an aside. So you interview not only the client, but the client's clients. I love that. And I am curious though, I was thinking about this earlier. So when you either, when you're talking to a prospect and you look at their website ahead of time and you're going to have this phone call with them or this Zoom call, whichever, or you're going to be face to face with them. And you, whether you get the client, land the client or not, how quick do you have an idea of, which way you would go with that client or what you expect to see when you're looking at their website from having the conversation with them, but then you're either really surprised or disappointed.
Well, and that's the beauty of a consistent brand voice, because you read their website and you're expecting one
Yes.
way, a person to be one way. But then
Yes.
when you actually get onto a phone call, or
Yeah.
it's so I can see it almost immediately now because I've been doing it a while. But
Yes.
it's so interesting because they don't a lot of times they don't understand how important that consistency is and how it could derail the know, like, and trust process. And that, and it's for me, I find it more, like I was saying earlier, with the networking, you're in person with someone and you have this great rapport, and their energy is so invigorating. And then you go to their website and it's like, is this the same person? Like,
Yeah.
it's really quite interesting. And
Yes.
so it's so important. Consistency is so important.
Of course it is. But I also struggle. I've struggled with that. So, because it takes so much time to do the writing for websites and things like that. And, we all have our priorities. And so that's why
Yes.
people like you are really important that can do that easily. And like, for example, I mean, of course I want to say to you, okay, I need the first impression from you, not on here after, but the first impression of my website and what do I need to do to make it better? I know it could use work. It's just, where do you put your time? But
100%.
what kind of a difference would it make? So that's the key, right? How
Yes.
is it going to make a difference? So
Well,
do people say
and
that to
it
you?
also depends on how you use your website. If you
Good point.
use your website just as a tool or a follow-up for networking, if you are talking to somebody and you're creating that relationship, but you want to show them, something else about you or your services,
Yep.
then that's the your website is really an ancillary tool.
Yes. Yeah. Just
Whereas if you're blogging or whatever, and people go there to buy things or to do something else, then that's totally different.
good point.
So
Yeah.
it
And
just
it, yeah.
depends on how you're using your website and the information, and but the personality should always be congruent, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah, definitely. Okay. How many or many people struggle to share personal stories in business? I'm one of them. Sometimes I have trouble with it. How do you help clients walk the line between personal and professional?
It all starts with the conversation.
Yeah.
It really is, because there are some people that, yes, they're, and that's their brand voice, right? That is their accountants or their engineers or their, it's funny because one of my dearest clients is a wealth manager, and he has a boutique agency, and his minimum is $2 million, and he is a sports fanatic.
Got it.
And I wrote his website with sports
Yeah.
analogies and, like,
Yeah.
the quarterback and his team and
Yeah.
all of these things. So there are people, but you need to get them comfortable if
Yeah.
that fits their audience. Like, obviously it all has to do with the target
Of
audience.
course, of course. I mean, I do that with LinkedIn actually with people. When I find before I started to use AI to help me at all, I would spend twice as long with a client trying to do their about section on LinkedIn because I'd be drawing things out of them. And it took me longer because I felt it had to come from their voice. And I'm not as, I don't write for a living. So, but I knew what sounded right and I knew whether it would be their voice or not, because it's instinctive in some way. But it's really fun. When I finished that process, the client would say, that was really interesting, or that was really fun. And yes, I'm pleased with that. Now I kind of short circuited a little bit, but then we put it in their voice. And it makes my part a little bit easier because I have a base to work with. But it's finding what lights them up.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the beauty. I mean, that's why I love what I do, because
yeah, I'm sure I get
building
it.
Relationships. I love speaking to people. I love meeting new people.
Yeah.
And so that's the biggest thing for me. I know I'm frozen.
You're frozen on the
yeah,
screen.
I know.
Okay.
I saw that, but you can still hear me.
Yes, I can. And now you're coming back. There you go. I know it's weird. Not to worry. This is authentic. It's real. We don't care. It's all good.
Exactly.
All right. So let's talk results. What changes when someone truly owns their brand voice? You did give one example. You've given a couple, actually. Do you have another story you want to share?
For me, sorry. Yes. Yes, I do. So I have a client that she does rehabilitation for massage for rehabilitation and that kind of thing. And she had a high ticket retreat that she wanted to sell out. And we were chatting. I met her at a networking event and she was talking about putting it out on social media. And I was chatting with her about her email list, and she had thousands of people on her email list, but she's never done anything with them.
I wish I was her. I want
I know,
that
right?
list, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So she, as we chatted, I convinced her that just to take a chance on the email, just to see. Mm-hmm. And when you meet her, she's a little tiny thing, really gregarious, calls you beautiful, like really smiley. And then when she sent me her first draft email, it was terrible. It was
yeah.
very factual. It was very detailed. And it talked all about the fascia and the stuff
okay.
and the muscles and the,
yeah.
And it was like, okay, so this is totally incongruent, because
right.
You know, we need to make people feel like, what am I going to get out of it? Absolutely. But you know, why is this going to make their life better? And so we fixed it and we massaged it and we put it in her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she sold I think 5 or 8 of the 12 spots with the first email.
Fantastic. Wow.
And so it's the power of owning it.
Yes.
It's the power of understanding how you show up and being clear and consistent. And the biggest thing for me, when you have a brand voice, well, there's a couple of things, obviously, but one of them is if you start to grow, or you want to focus on things, you're not a great writer, it takes you too much time and energy, you want to give it to someone else, whether it's an employee or a subcontractor or whatever, and you don't have a voice written down, you don't have the expressions you use, you don't have the, you know, we speak in grade 3 or 4 language, you don't talk about, you know, we short sentences, bullet points, all these things, which are part of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to rewrites and wasted time and wasted energy and wasted money. And then you end up a lot of time, my clients end up rewriting it themselves. And so not having a good, solid, consistent brand voice helps or hinders your scaling. It
mm-hmm.
hinders your time wastage. It is so important. And again, because you want to show up, if you meet somebody in person or online, you want to make sure that they know that it's you. They're not going to get an
right.
email from you saying, did somebody hack your inbox? Because this does not sound like the person that I was talking to, or this does not look like your website.
Well, that makes me also think of, do you ever come across clients or prospects that they think they know what they want, but they really haven't even isolated who their audience is? And,
100%.
you know, so how can you help them if they haven't helped themselves first? Like, you can, but it's a longer process, I'm
It
sure.
is a longer
Yeah.
process, but it obviously leads to a much better product, right? A
Oh, of
much
course.
better
Of
outcome.
course.
So
Yeah.
you do need, I have in my process, in my framework, part of the after the discovery call, and we agree that yes, we're a fit and we want to work together, then we go through a series of questions, and that is one of the essential questions, is who is your ideal client?
Right.
And what keeps them up at night and that kind of thing. And the other one, because your voice is also your personality, but it's also the words and that kind of thing. It's, you know, how do you want to show up? Like, what, how do you want to be seen? Whether that's, you know, as a trusted guide, or a friend at the bar, or, you know, that kind of thing. So that also helps me create content for you. I have an exercise that I run my clients through. It's a brand voice finder, and we go through about 120 words, and we bucket them into heck no, maybe, important but not essential, and core. And you can't have more than 9 core words.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so it leads to a lot of contemplation and discussion and Googling the, you know, in the dictionary, what exactly does that mean?
Sure.
So I had a client a couple of, well, last year, and there were two male co-founders, very different personalities, but we went through this exercise, and the conversation was fascinating because they had to agree on the word, first of all. They had to agree what the word meant to them.
Yes.
And then they had to decide whether it was a Cal word, or was it a brand word? Like, was it a personal word, or was it a brand word? Then they had to agree to the definition, and then
Yeah.
they had to agree where to put it in the
Oh,
bucket.
yeah, that's good exercise.
It was fascinating. It
Yeah.
was, that's, yeah, another reason why I love what I do.
Oh, I can there's I can see it'd be a lot of fun. Just I'm this is really funny. Do you watch Jeopardy?
Yes.
Okay, I'm a Jeopardy nerd. I love Jeopardy. And I usually have my phone beside me in case there's a word I want to look up or something afterwards. So this came up as a question a couple of week or so ago. It might have been in the last what did they call it? Like a champion run,
Oh,
championship run.
yes.
Or maybe not. I don't know. Anyway. Do you know what this word is? Tittle. Tittle. Do you know what that is?
Like a titillating?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No. It's
I
not
don't.
even, no. You won't even guess it if you don't know, because I had no idea. So the question was the name of the dot over an I or a J. And the
Okay.
answer is, what is tittle? Never heard of it before. I know.
I've never heard of it before.
Tittle. Look it up.
I will.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was fun. And you would enjoy that because you probably have read one of my favorite books, haven't you? Eat, Shoots, and Leaves.
Yes.
Yeah. Love that book. Okay. Wrapping up on this, I'm going to
Yes.
ask you if someone wants to start sounding more like themselves online, what's one small change that they could make this week?
They could start, well, they could take my brand voice quiz.
Well, and I was going to say, do talk about that because I took it and it's fun and the answers or the some of the questions I was like, no, that's not right. No, that's not right. Okay, I'll just guess at the one because it wasn't in my mind fitting me.
Right.
And yet your report after I felt comfortable with. So you must get something right. You must do something right. So talk
Hi,
about that
every once in a
in this
while.
answer for sure.
So I think that that's when they want to start being more consistent or feeling like themselves, listen to the way you speak to people and not necessarily write it down, but be conscious of it. And then when you're writing emails or when you're, talking to people, or use some of those words and see if it still feels comfortable, if it still feels authentic or genuine. I know I also do not, I feel like authentic has been way overused. So
But
I've been more
it's still, yeah. Is it you?
genuine.
Genuine. I like that. So tell my audience a little bit about your quiz and where they can find it.
So I have a 10 and a 12 question quiz called Your Brand Voice Quiz, why it's important or why it matters to you. And it really helps people who don't know in general how they sound or how they show up. So this is just a really fun, quick thing that helps you at least generalize. There's four general brand voices, and it's just the tip of the iceberg, but it really does help you think about, am I buttoned up? Like, is who am I? Is that my personality, or is that the way I have to speak to my target audience? Or is it, do you use a lot of emojis and alliteration and, that kind of thing? So you could be preppy because you're, or are you more of a yogi? It's more heart-centered conversation or words or content. So it's a quick quiz, but it really starts you on that journey of this is how I show up genuinely and comfortably. And then you start to notice that, take note of it, and write or create content in that voice.
And or have a conversation with you.
Have a conversation with me because I would love to help people. I love it when clients, it's like, oh, I never knew, or I think that's
Yeah,
so
that's what I like too.
exciting. Does it A year ago in April, I was feeling very disconnected with my brand and with my content. And I started learning about brand voice. I was training on brand voice. And now I feel that I am more aligned and more connected with who I am and how I show up. And that makes me very passionate to help others.
That's fantastic. Now I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something.
And so while you're thinking of
Okay.
that, one of my clients that I've done the exercise with, she now uses it when she's doing even proposals for work. She writes the proposal and then looks at her nine core words and says, am I channeling those words in something like a proposal, which I thought was amazing.
That's really, what was that? Something
It
just
was a
flew.
fly. I
Yeah,
have a
something
fly
just
that I've been
flew across the screen. Anyway, no, that's really good. So when you work with a client, they get to know how to use their brand voice in all different aspects of what they're doing. So I love that. Okay. And they can find you at patriciaviscount.com, correct? And on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I'm Patricia Viscount on LinkedIn, and the link to my brand voice quiz is on LinkedIn as well. So, and if you want to put it in the show notes, that would be
I will
amazing.
do
But
that.
yeah,
Yeah,
it's
no,
just
absolutely.
it's
No, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for spending time with us and for your wisdom around. I can see your passion about it when you talk. It lights you up, and that's something. And I think that for my listeners, I think you can see here how Patricia has reminded us that that business doesn't have to sound bland or robotic. In fact, the more we show up as ourselves, the stronger our relationships and our results can be. Whether you're a coach, a consultant, or just trying to find your voice in a noisy world, Patricia's advice is a reminder that the words we choose can either push people away or pull them in. And it all starts by sounding like you.
Absolutely. And I love that. Thank you.
Yes, so thank you so much for being here today. And for those of you who want to find out more, please, I encourage you to go and take Patricia's quiz, to go and check out how she works, and to connect with her on LinkedIn. Why not? Thank you for being here, and remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.